disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I have to confess, I'm not quite as wound up as I was yesterday when I came down there. I woke up, not giving you my sleep patterns again. My wife would tell you I fell asleep about 8:30, and I was wide awake again this morning about 3:30, but the Lord let me sleep a little bit longer, got up. And kind of ruminating on yesterday's show was unbelievable, wasn't it, friends? If you, listen, share that with your friends. I rarely say that. That was powerful, man. That was all from the Holy Spirit. And I think it forces all of us to go deep. I think it forces all of us to go deep when we study the Bible. Go deep. Dig deep. Let's not rush through the Bible. Let's not get in the Bible and say, hey, I read 5 chapters today and really don't even remember what you read, right? So get a little nugget of truth and hold on to that nugget of truth and build upon it line by line, precept by precept, and remember that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And one of the themes I think we have here is not everything you hear is true. Not everything you've been taught is true. And I'm on as Rush Limbaugh would have said, a relentless pursuit of the truth. I don't care who I offend. I don't try to offend anybody. But if the truth offends, what? Christ is the truth. He's the truth.
Amen.
And that's when people say, Coach, well, share the truth in love. The truth is love. They are inseparable. Now, the delivery, that may have something else. But whenever I deliver the truth, it's love. It's love. Does anybody want to be lied to? I didn't love. Come on. Hey, couple things. This is we're gonna try today again another Bible answer man or whatever. We're gonna throw some meat on the table. I got a couple things I want to do real quick. So maybe those of you out there, you could write something down. If you got a Bible question, you could throw out here to the crew, because as I've said many times, I'm not a theologian, nor the son of one, nor the daughter of one. But I can read. I can read and I can think. And I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says, come, let us reason together. Let's reason together here. Let's find out what the truth is. But I got a couple things I want to share with you real quickly before we do. Don't forget Mount Vernon on Sunday. Anybody in the central Ohio area, 2:00 on the square at Mount Vernon. And Freedom Rally, we will not bow. Oh, I got some good, man. The other side's losing, folks. They are losing. I'm telling you, they're losing. They lie. I got this video of Dr. Zelenko here talking about genocide, acts of being genocide. I want to start out today. This is kind of, I showed the clip yesterday at Kyle Rittenhouse. Hang on. Go to our email list and sign up. Spencer, you're right there on the homepage. Do that right now. See where it says sign up. Folks, that's the only way we stay connected with you. And we don't bombard you with emails every day. But we need your email and address so we can, we can put you in a group. If somebody says, hey, Coach, is there anybody that lives near me? We can search all those who live in Boston, Massachusetts, and it'll pop up a list. So we use it for those kind of purposes. If you're watching and you're not part of our list, please go there. How long is it going to take you? First name, last name, email, address, zip code, state. Boom. How hard is that, right? Do that so we have a record of who you are. If the world falls apart, we're going to be able to contact you. Well, I want to show you a video real quick. I spoke the other day about Aaron Rodgers, the current MVP of the National Football League last year, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Didn't take the jab. Not going to take the jab. Now, you want to tell me that there's not a conspiracy? Because I got about a 2-minute clip here of the attack on Aaron Rodgers. It's amazing. Friends, this just couldn't be. You mean there's nobody saying, is there anybody saying it's okay not to take the jab? Anybody saying it? anywhere? Very few people are afraid to. Can I show you why they're afraid to? Watch the, just like Kyle Rittenhouse, watch the assault of the lamestream ESPN media on Aaron Rodgers. This is unbelievable. My body, my choice. Somewhere that we lost on. Body autonomy. We lost that somewhere. Go ahead, play this. It's only about 2 minutes, 15 seconds.
I can't believe Aaron Rodgers did this, Skip. I have lost so much respect.
I'm ashamed of him right now.
I think we're seeing a very different side of Aaron Rodgers. And I think we're seeing a side of Aaron Rodgers that people are really, really disgusted by.
I'm making the decision that's based on what's best that's for Aaron me Rogers. And my own health. And for me, it was a no-brainer.
He literally is sitting home because he might kill someone.
First, he endangers people's lives. Then he doesn't take responsibility and makes up some story. Then he blames the woke crowd. He should speak at the Republican convention.
The problem with this is it is so political, and health should not be political.
He gave this interview on Friday that was just... it was just so damaging, promoting conspiracy theories, attacking the cancel culture and the woke mob, you know, saying how Joe Rogan was his expert analysis.
He's up there a second.
He talks to Harvard
MDs about. All right, it's okay. Folks, I don't think I've ever seen. Spencer, you got to go back there a little bit. Folks, I just saw something. I can't believe I just saw. Right there. Freeze it, Spencer. Fully vaccinated people. Look at that. They have a running total of fully vaccinated people in the United States of America. Is that unbelievable? Go ahead. Keep playing it.
Mob, you know, saying how Joe Rogan was his expert analysis.
While he says he talks to Harvard MDs about stuff, it was Joe Rogan that really guided him. He took stuff that is for horses.
Ivermectin is a cattle dewormer. Sorry, folks. That's what it is.
The embarrassment was going to begin as soon as he pointed out Joe Rogan as one of his touchstones of his critical thinking.
I'm going to critically think about what's best for my own health. I'm not judging anybody else.
What we've got today with this interview is a public figure spreading misinformation.
Aaron Rodgers is comfortable sitting down for 50 minutes and spewing verbal diarrhea that we can all react to.
It is a devastating prospect, the ramifications of what this guy is doing and what he's saying. He sounds like a crackpot.
Have they talked about exercise, a healthy diet, like eating real food, drinking water, taking vitamins, vitamin D deficiency, and what that causes in the body? No. There hasn't been any of that.
I think that was a rant that went off the rails several times, divorced from reality at almost every turn.
You came across as a national embarrassment.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers set the dumb jock stereotype back?
I'm going to have the best immunity possible now, based on the 2.5 million person study from Israel, that the people who get COVID and recover have the most robust immunity.
For him to perpetuate that, I guess it just shows us that he doesn't care.
I'm an athlete. I'm not an activist. So I'm going to get back to doing what I do best. And that's playing ball.
Folks, is that something? You have to understand that those people are paid to say that, right? They're paid to say that. The character assassination that takes place. See, it's not directed at Aaron Rodgers, friends. It's directed at you. And it's directed at me. That's what it is. And again, I become amazed that Christians don't get it. I did a great show yesterday. Last evening, I had a chance to host the Hagman. I didn't host the Hagman Report. Doug had some surgery, so he was really a bit under the weather. And he invited me on with Pastor Hadian, Sharam Hadian, to talk about what happened with Pastor Sharam. And just the clarity of the truth coming out of the mouth of Pastor Sharam. And Pastor Sharam Hadian, he agrees with me that Franklin Graham needs to make a public statement now about the fact that he had this heart issue after having taken not only the vaccine, but the booster. He has a moral obligation. Anybody disagree with that? I think we need to put pressure on him. If we don't call out our own, well, that's where we are. We won't call out our own. Then I want to show you one other thing, and then I'm going to open it up to a question, the Bible question man, rather than the Bible answer man. Pull up Dr. Zelenko. I have someone very, very close to my family. It's all I'm going to say right now, who is about to be fired, dismissed from her position because she's pregnant and refuses to take the jab. Folks, did you hear what I just said? She's pregnant and refuses to take the jab, and they're going to fire her. They want her to take the jab anyway, even though we know that it has a devastating effect on the preborn. Of course, we don't care about that, do we? My body, my choice. That doesn't matter. It's somebody else. My body, somebody else's choice. That's where we are. So here's a 3-minute video with Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. talking about the fact that it's murder. It's murder. Go ahead, Spence.
Crime in the history of humanity. And there's so much evidence available now proving the fact that this is premeditated first-degree murder and genocide. For example, the FDA had an internal presentation in October of 2020. Keep in mind, that's 2 months before the vaccine rollout. And they, on slide 16 of their presentation, explained and showed all the side effects of these vaccines. Now, if you look at the VAERS database where innocent Americans had reported the adverse events, there's a 100% correlation between what the American public has experienced and what the FDA presented to internally to its own scientists. So whenever there's a 100% correlation, that's right, whenever there's a 100% correlation between something that was supposedly predicted, obviously it was known 2 months at least 2 months before this was deployed on the American public. So that is premeditated. This is my charge. Premeditated first-degree murder and genocide of at least 700,000 Americans. Thank God for giving me cancer. And what I mean by that is that it's opened up my consciousness and made me realize how valuable and precious my life is and how every second is a divine gift. And that really no one knows how long they're going to live. You know, I have this kind of saying that life is a terminal disease, because we begin to die from the day we're born. So it's not that important how long we live. It's much more important what we do with the time, how we live, and what we do with the time that we're given. And it's imperative that we make good choices, that we turn away from false gods and accept the yoke of the true one God. And that is the solution to this turning. You see, that the evil has dug in. They have nowhere to go. They know that if divine consciousness is spread through humanity, then that will be their end. Just like a little light kills all the darkness. So they are going to do everything possible to maintain control. And the way to do that is through mass psychosis. If anyone has ever studied psychological warfare, you'd understand that prolonged anxiety, fear, together with human isolation, causes the human soul and spirit to decompensate and become psychotic and become so paralyzed with fear that the mind doesn't matter anymore, and people gravitate to anything, any false god that will alleviate that fear. In this particular case, it's a false vaccine, a false promise of this vaccine. So the reality is that do not give in to the isolation, do not give in to the fear, do not let the tactics to take your consciousness away from the divine and make you codependent on a cult. I plead with humanity, I plead with the American public, do not sacrifice your children. Take your children out of harm's way. The government is the enemy of the people. It's the enemy of your children. Take them out of harm's way. They don't need to die.
There you go. Jack just sent me this from Daniel Webster. Yeah, leave that list up there. They know this. Daniel Webster said, good intentions will always be pleaded for every assumption of authority. It's hardly too strong to say that the Constitution was made to guard the people against the dangers of good intentions. There are men in all ages who mean to govern well, but they mean to govern. They promise to be good masters, but they mean to be your masters. Well said there, man. Well said. Okay, let's jump in here. I don't know if you guys want to ask a Bible question. We'll just find out. Larry's first guy popped in. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, no Bible question. I just want to say that in there, you know, it said they know how many people have been fully vaccinated. The government knows. That means they have a list. It's looking more and more and more like the vaccination. If it isn't the mark of the beast, it has virtually every marker of the mark of the beast.
Amen. Well, we said the other day, though, Mary, Larry's a mark in the beast, so it's mind control. Naomi and Michelle.
So when you rewound that video back to those numbers,
you know, hidden in plain sight, what was right behind those numbers on the Washington Monument. I forget what it's called, but I always call it a pencil.
Uh-huh.
It was hidden right behind those numbers, hidden in plain sight.
Yeah, you mean the obelisk, right? Obelisk symbol.
Yes. Yes.
There you go. Rochelle.
Good morning, team. Hey, I wanted to expand on something that Coach had said earlier. My heart's racing. Those videos the stuff you talk about. Anyway, this really seems off topic, but really meditating on scripture and really seeking what it's saying. And I just wanted to share something I learned from Chuck Missler. It's really cool. And it's from Genesis 1:29 through Genesis 2:9. And what's going on there is he's just reading, you know, it's just creation, and he's reading the tree and, you know, what he's doing in creation. And in that, those short verses, he names off in Bible code 26, or there's actually more now, different tree and plant names. And if you could read Hebrew, you could actually do this yourself. It's by simple skip letters. Like every other letter would spell, actually I have the list here. Like if you wanted to spell almond, you would skip every five letters and it would spell almond in Hebrew is what I'm saying. And Chuck Missler's got tamarisk, tebra, thicket, citron, acacia, almond, wheat, date, palm, cedar, aloe, grape, bramble, cassia, pomegranate, gopher, fir, thornbush, olive, pistachio, hazel, fig, willow, oak, vine, bailey, chestnut, poplar. Those were from Chuck Missler. And then someone else found sycamore, apple, juniper. In just those short verses, God was able to hide all of that creation. So once you really start studying his word, there is so much to it. And you won't ever doubt anything about your Bible, because it's proven in his Bible, in his book. Amen. Thank you, Coach, for introducing people to this kind of study.
Amen. Go deep, not flat, go deep. Myra, then Randy. Myra. Randy, go.
Coach, I just wanted to point out, did you notice all those commentators that now they hate Aaron Rodgers? They went from love to hate all at once over this one issue. But did you notice their arrogance and their pride?
Condescending. Yeah, what a dummy he is, right?
Yeah, Coach, that's a good way to just judge a person, the spirit of what's pushing them. You know, there's no humility, there's no common ground. Where's all that fake? It's they're showing their hypocrisy. It's so obvious. Isn't that what Jesus did whenever he came to the religious and to all the people of his time, the day that their hypocrisy just stood out because of he was truth. So,
amen.
That's why it's so important for us to speak the truth. We have to expose the hypocrisy of the system.
That's why they said you'd be hated of all men, right? You'd be hated of all men. Those guys are collecting paychecks, many of them from Disney. Many of them are getting paychecks. They're on the company plan. Don't think they're not. Bobby Lee, come in.
Yeah, he sparked me to make a Facebook post right now saying this experimental death shot is premeditated murder. Arrest complicit doctors, nurses, teachers, and pastors. It should be a bumper sticker.
Hey, Bobby, listen, I'll tell you this. What the doctors is doing is far more premeditated than what Kyle Richardson did. I promise you that. I promise you that. Kyle Richardson's, well, we know, right? Rittenhouse, I'm sorry, Rittenhouse, yeah. That wasn't premeditated. This premeditated. That's what Dr. Zelenko says. They know what's going on. Myra, we'll try to get you back in here.
Good morning, Saints.
Good morning.
I have a question. The Bible question is Numbers 1:25. And I would like to know if you guys know the spiritual meaning of the number. Those that were number of them even of the tribe of God, were 40, God, were 40,5650. Numbers 125.
What's your question?
Yes, what is the spiritual meaning of the 40,5650?
It's 45,650. 45,650. It's a number. Anybody have any insight on the spiritual significance of that? Or was it just a number? I don't know.
Just a number, Coach.
I mean, we could read whatever. We could get Steve Deck in here and get those number people going. He'd find a number in there somewhere for us.
But I would suggest that it is significant just because we don't know. Yes. It adds up to 20. 20, that usually means it's not enough. So I don't know if that fits.
Don't have an answer for you on that one, really, Myra.
But there are people who do this, and yes, it all makes sense. Bibles always make sense in the Bible.
Yep. Well, so we'll get somebody dig that out for us. Tracy, come on in.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to expand a little bit on what Larry said. There are numbers. The other group I'm in, movcac.com, has a chart one of our members did, and he took the numbers right off of the CDC website. Every state in the country has increased the COVID cases since the vaccine rollout. Now, usually when you have a vaccine, numbers are supposed to go down. Only 22 states were under 100% increase. Ohio, over 100% increase in COVID cases since a vaccine. So what does that tell you?
Well, I said, not only that, I saw today, I should have copied it. I knew I should have. The death rate in America has not risen, not one bit, over the last 3 years. Steady death rate, folks. Steady death rate. There are more. See, they would want us to believe that now there's many, many people dying. No, it's been steady. People die all the time, sometimes from flu, sometimes from cancer, sometimes from diabetes. And this is just magnifying those. Let me get Glenn in here real quick. Reggie, I know I'm holding off on you, Reggie, because I'm sure you got a question. And I want to make some of these people just want to, if you have a real Bible question, hold that off. Let me get to some of these that just have comments real quick. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, so, Coach, you know, I'm finally here. The Lord has been speaking to me, some of the things that you've said. And Randy, you keep bringing up that we need to speak. We need to speak. And, you know, and I'm getting it. What I saw in 1 Corinthians 16:9, I see that opportunities and opposition are partners. Look at that. It says, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries.
Boy.
So, Randy, you're right on. We need to speak, but remember, we're going to have adversaries when we open our mouth.
Well, not only that, the great door is open to go speak to them, Glenn's what I read there, right?
Amen. Amen.
A great and effectual door. He's not complaining. He said, man, I'm going to make some hay here, because why? They opened the door where there are many adversaries. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to make some hay. Good catch, Glenn. Good catch. Come on in, Craig.
Yeah, Coach, I would speculate that they're after a recreation. They're not after the death toll or killing them. Eventually, they want to kill everybody. But I think they're out to recreate their own recreation in some twisted fashion. They believe that if they create their own creation, they're outside God's judgment. That's my theory.
Well, Craig, but also, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. They want to corrupt the incorruptible seed. That's their goal. Amen. To corrupt anything that's created in the image of God. That's what transhumanism and all that stuff's about. Now, the average person you go to church with doesn't get that. They don't get it. But those of us who our eyes have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, we read that yesterday, right, about the enlightening. Our eyes have been enlightened. We have to understand that we're dealing with a lot of people whose eyes are still in darkness. Their eyes are not enlightened. But the really, really good news is, I had a conversation last night with somebody who remains silent. And I said to my wife after, I said, man, his eyes are opening. Anybody else see that going on? Does anybody else see that going on around you? Say, oh man, he's starting to get it. He's starting to get it. So we have to continue to pray for that, because this is going to be one of the greatest evangelistic opportunities in the history of America. Let me say this also, as I said earlier, we know Franklin Graham took the jab and he took the booster and he had a heart issue directly tied to that. Franklin, I'm going to do what I can to raise the pressure on him to come out and say the truth of what happened to him. I believe he has an obligation to do that. Come on in, Michelle, then Joe, then Reggie. Michelle's hooked up. Go ahead, Joe.
Coach, I watched Aaron Rodgers' whole interview, a couple of them.
Very articulate, very thought out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I noticed one thing. He didn't state he had any trouble sleeping and standing up. Go Packers.
Amen. Amen. Let me get Dale real quick. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, Coach, let's just go. You know, even in Matt Travolta's video, if you remember a few weeks ago, it all begins with repentance. And brother, when you look at the Franklin Grahams and the rest of these ministers and politicians and whoever they are, the biggest roadblock is that Franklin Graham will not repent. And therefore, there is no forgiveness of sin. Brother, this is the clog in the artery right here, is man's heart is not only foul and evil, but brother, because of our unwillingness to repent, then the heart becomes more and more calloused. Look at how these news people are. Everybody's hearts is becoming more and more calloused, although they're seeing their friends die left and right, but they refuse to acknowledge that they were wrong about anything.
Amen, Dale. Amen. Come on in, Reggie.
Hey, morning, Coach. The order was given from the families to assassinate him because you don't go against the grain. But I do have a Bible thing.
Okay, hang on a second. Hang on. Okay. You're mad at Franklin Graham?
Am I?
No. You say the families. Are they mad at
the families? Aren't? Oh, Aaron. They're assassinating him.
Oh, Aaron. Oh.
You're not allowed to say anything against
him. Oh, I believe that. I believe that for sure.
Okay. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Revelations 2:9.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, 2:9.
I'm just going to put that out there and discuss it.
I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Amen.
I'm not hesitating because I don't know what to say. I'm trying to, you put it out there. What's your point by putting it out there, or what's your question, Reggie? Because I don't want my question to come out. I want your question to come out.
Well, I like to hear other people's perspectives and what type of studying they've done on it, because I know mine. But
okay. So help me then. The question you're asking, if I get it right, Reggie, is maybe the first question, who are the Jews? That would be a good place to start. What are the Jews? That would be a good place to start. And why are they called the synagogue of Satan? That would be three pretty fair questions, wouldn't it? We're not allowed to talk about this. Right? Not allowed to talk about this.
Well, there's a reason we're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, there's three pretty good questions here that I just kind of formulated there. Who are the Jews? I forgot my questions, but they were good. Right? Okay. Anybody want to dive into this thing? Rochelle's waving her hand. She wants to. Go ahead. What is the synagogue of Satan?
Okay.
Hang on, Rochelle. Rochelle, hang on. If every word of the Bible is true, we have to deal with this. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to let everybody else jump into the meat of this, but I'm going to give you at the time exactly what it was referring to. Not exactly, but from what I can remember from the study I did a really long time ago. So those who say they are Jews and are not, these at the time were people who were of Jewish descent. They were Jews, but they did not follow Christ. And they had certain exemptions because they were Jews.
Well, first of all, they weren't following Christ. Go ahead.
What they were doing is they were trying to get the Christians persecuted because they were saying, no, they're not like us, even though they're of Jewish descent. They're not us. So they were persecuting those because you could only pay homage to the synagogue of Satan, which at the time would have been Jupiter or Saturn or Zeus. Their main god. They all had their god. So that's what it was then. And they were actually persecuting their own people who followed Christ. Now, this is the synagogue of Satan has actually been taken from its pillars and moved around, and I'll let other people do that. But that's in the original text what was happening to the Christians in that society. They were being persecuted by their own people, the people of Jewish descent.
So does Satan have a synagogue?
Well, as we know, this is a kingdom against kingdom. He's got a kingdom.
So does he have a synagogue? What's a synagogue? I'm just asking. I'm not necessarily asking you, Rochelle. I'm asking, what would be the synagogue of Satan? Does anybody have an idea on that?
The Roman Catholic Church.
Silver, go ahead.
Serving the flesh.
Silver, what would be the synagogue of Satan?
Probably more than likely the Catholic Church.
Amen.
But the thing, I mean, you were talking about context.
Yes.
I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, which say they are Christian and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Mm-hmm. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and that ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. I will give thee a crown of life. There is a reward for proclaiming Christ.
In the face of persecution. Especially in the face of persecution.
Especially in persecution.
Yes.
There's a lot coming.
But I think the larger issue that we're dancing around here, Silver, and I'll lead in this dance here for a second. Who are the Jews? Isn't that the question? Isn't that a very pertinent question that we ought to ask? Because the points made here specifically, some people say they're Jews and they're not. Right. So who are the Jews? Let me see. Craig's been waiting. Let me get him in here. Then Randy.
I just wanted to maybe answer Myra's question.
All right.
Okay. So what they did is they took a census, okay, which is very important because only God can call the census. So when David called the census, it cost 70,000 men. When you take all these numbers here, you need to go over here and look to, and this is from Chuck Misler, by the way, this isn't my enlightenment. You got to go to chapter 2 and what it says in chapter 2, and it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard. Beside the emblems, and I'll get to that in a second, of his father's house, and they shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of the meeting on the east side toward the sun. So what they did, because they were very obedient, you know, the Jews really liked the law, right? The tabernacle of the meeting was in the center, and what they did is they divided up into the 12 families. They were in three groups. So the people from the east would be at the distance of the tabernacle meeting. I don't know what that is, but let's just say for sake, it's 150 feet. The tabernacle is 150 feet wide, okay? Well, they would camp in a line 150 feet wide to the east, and they would just keep going, and that would encompass all those numbers of families, all right? And then they would do the same. What it made is, from an aerial view, it made the symbol of a cross. Okay, they wouldn't be in like the northeast corner or the southeast corner. They would be directly east in alignment of the tabernacle if it's 150 feet wide. And when you start to add all these numbers up, okay, it was used as a marker to see how far it would stretch out. And when you start looking at the east, the three families weren't as long as the ones from the south or the north, if that makes sense. Okay. So what's interesting is when they talk about a Sabbath day's walk, a Sabbath day's walk was really the southern group, the three families of the southern. I think it was a little bit over a half a mile, three quarters of a mile. That was based on how far those families were from the tabernacle meeting. Okay, so that's interesting. Now, here we go. The four emblems, okay. Each three groups of families had an emblem, all right? And if you go to Revelation 4:6, and this is consistent through the Bible when they got to the throne of God. When you go to Revelation 4, and it says, before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the midst of the throne, around the throne, were four living creatures, full of eyes in front of the back. The first living creature was like a lion. So a lion was an emblem for three of the families. The second creature was like a calf. The third creature had the face of a man, and the fourth had a flying eagle. So this is the consistency that you see scattered throughout the Bible that you're talking about, if that makes sense.
Sort of. I mean, it sort of makes sense. It does. I'm not making fun of that. But listen, folks, there is certainly significance to the number. Certainly is.
Coach, I remember. This makes a cross. You set up the camps as they're supposed to be set up, and if that's you look down said. From them from a sky view, it makes the pattern of a cross. I remember this study.
That's what he just said. That's what Craig just said. Cool. Randy.
Thank you.
Randy.
Yeah, Coach, every number in the Word of God, every one is significant. It's just we don't see the depth of them. You know, you have to study and study to see them. But going to the question on the synagogue of Satan, Coach, I want to make a point on that. The Jews were the covenant people. They were the holy people. That's who Jesus is talking to in seven churches of Asia. These are churches in Asia, but he's pointing out to them, okay, you have people in here that are not true. They don't have a covenant. They're infiltrators. They're like the Pharisees that say, oh, we're Jews, but we're not. We're infiltrating. So it was satanic infiltrators. And the church, the Roman Catholic Church, wasn't even around at that time. That's about 50 AD when John really gets the vision here. Most people don't understand the time frame. But so Jesus is putting out these seven letters to these churches that are getting ready to go through a terrible judgment of evil. And it ain't on them. It's on what they're doing. Okay. So the synagogue, Kirk, that is the church. That is the satanic hypocrisy church, just like today, just no different, really. But it's he's pointing out, okay, you don't worry, you're going to go through these things, but you're not being judged as the fake Jews. You are being just going through the judgment that's coming for this time. It's the same thing for today, Coach.
Because the fake Jews, folks, I got to look at this, called fake Jews, fake Christians, whatever you want to. Hey, friends, the fake Christians right now, they're not getting persecution. They're not being persecuted. It's the real ones that are standing up that are being persecuted. And this is pretty much similar, I think, of what's going on. But then that circles me back to a question that nobody ever will stand up and give me a straight answer for. Are the Jews a race or a religion? Are they a race or a religion? And if they're a race, then how do you convert to one? How could Sammy Davis Jr. convert to Judaism if Jews are a race of people? Right? I don't have the answer to that. Because they claim bloodline. They claim bloodline, but clearly people convert to Judaism. Go ahead, Joe. I know that's kind of up your alley.
Coach, the bloodline is irrelevant when you look at who was first saved out of Egypt. It was not just descendants, okay, of Isaac or of Israel, okay? It was also the people that worked with them, their slaves, blah, 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 okay, that went with them. If they took, they were going to take and become Jews at that point. The other thing is that we asked
Wait, whoa. How do you become a Jew?
Well, that's the thing. Today, it's more money than anything else. But you can be converted into Judaism.
Then it's not a race.
And then it's not a race. It wasn't a race to begin with. That's what I'm saying. Okay? Because they had primarily a lot of Egyptian slaves under them. The Hebrew.
Then Joe, are those Egyptian slaves bloodline Jews?
No.
That's a pretty important question.
Originally, no.
No?
Okay.
Well, you can't say not originally, because if you're not bloodline, they're not bloodline. Now, we're adopted in because we're the bloodline. We're adopted in, right?
I'm talking about at the time that they were adopted in.
Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I mean, I'm with you there. Going back. I asked the question, what makes a Jew? Is it a race, or is it a bloodline or a conversion? Is it a race or a religion? It can't be both.
Actually, it was. So,
amen.
At the beginning, it was. So, as far as the time of leaving Egypt, we have today Jews. We have at the time of Christ, we had the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. Okay. And they all supposedly studied the Torah. All right. But none of them really fell in with Moses. All right. If you look at Passover, it's a separate thing. But they combined it with the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Okay. So is George Soros a child of God, a Jewish child of God?
By blood? I don't know. Possibly.
Okay, so I come back to the same question. Is it a religion or is it a blood? Is it a birth? Come on, Sam. I feel you about the bus. Come on in.
Look at it that way. It's blood.
Yeah.
And they're not all Jews. If you convert, it's not. Help me out, Sam.
First of all, it's both. And this is what the Roman kingdom emulated by the two legs of the idol that Daniel saw. It is a terrestrial kingdom, but it is also a spiritual kingdom, and it is a bloodline. And the way that you get in is by the spirit of adoption. Now, after you asked the question, you said adoption twice, so that you're on the right subject. By the spirit of adoption, that's how people convert, and by the shedding of blood through circumcision in the ancient days. Mm-hmm. And I have another answer here I'd like to read about the olive tree in Romans 12. But I want to just say first that I can't even believe that we're here, since yesterday we discussed that we're going to avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions. And I'm really disappointed that there are 130 people right here in the queue that won't speak because they don't want to elbow their way up to the trough through all of the contentions and genealogy. Three questions came up. They're all about genealogies. I'm very disappointed. I'm disappointed that there's other people in the room that cannot get forward through the infiltrators that are right here.
So Sam, how are they ever going to get through it? How are they ever going to get through it if we don't talk about it?
There's people running for the other goalpost, Coach.
Coach Sam, there are people. This is a legitimate question in the minds of many people in this queue. It's a legitimate question
made to derail the conversation and play for the enemy's camp. If some of the branches be broken off, now that's George Soros, all right? If he was born into the bloodline and he has become a Satanist, he's broken off. If some of the branches be broken off, this is Romans 12, 17. And thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. Now this is what's going on, is people are boasting against the branches. This continues. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, George Soros, take heed, infiltrators and Jew haters in this group, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou Jew haters out there, otherwise thou also shall be cut off.
So, Sam, you sound like somebody on ESPN. Are you accusing me of being a Jew hater? You mean I'm not even allowed to ask the question, Sam? That makes me a Jew hater? Shame on you, Sam. Shame on you, Sam.
I'm accusing you of allowing them.
Shame on you.
Why has it got to be me?
Come on in, Diane.
That certainly have legitimate questions that aren't about foolish contentions and genealogies. I'd like to hear one.
Sam, your approach today is no better than Stephen Smith on ESPN. Painting us all with a broad brush.
Amen, Coach.
Yeah, everybody wants in here. Diana, come in.
It's interesting that I recently did a presentation to a group of pastors called the Synagogue of Satan, connecting that to the infiltration of the Masonic lodge into the church and how that connects back to the spirit of Antichrist where the Jews, the physical versus the spiritual Jews. So it's very interesting you're discussing
that. Amen.
Yeah. I don't know why we can't discuss this. There are a lot of people who have serious questions about it. I really don't understand why it turns into a fight.
Dave, if I could just interject real quickly here.
You can, but there's a lot of people who want to interject.
I'm sorry, Dave. Oh, I can wait if you want me to.
Go ahead.
But when you look at the term Jews, that comes about much later on. Initially, they were Hebrews. After the splitting of the kingdom and, you know, the kingdom of Judah, that's where you see the term Jews. It leaves a lot of Hebrews out of it. Mm-hmm. As far as there being a race, of course they are. Obviously, the first covenant that God had was with Abraham. He was technically not even a Hebrew. But you had Isaac, and then you had Jacob became Israel, and he had the 12 sons, and they became the tribes of Israel. So obviously, they are a race. However, they had descendants all over the world that sired many different people of many different races. You go to Israel today, you see them return, you see many different races there, and they all claim bloodship, and I believe they are. As far as the term Jews goes, in the Bible, like when they said for fear of the Jews in John, that was the Judaizers, that was the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of the community. It wasn't the entire people, it was the people leading them. So those are the things we really need to bear in mind.
Thanks, Rich. And my point is, why are we allowed? Why can't we talk about this? Why would I be accused of being a Jew hater for simply bringing up a question that many people have? Many people have questions about this. I'm not afraid to talk about it. Mark Collier, come on in.
You know, if you look at the line of Christ that's spelled out in Matthew, there's people in that lineage that weren't Jews by birth. You had Ruth and Boaz. Ruth wasn't Jewish. She came to a point in her life where she said, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. There were prostitutes in his lineage, you know. So we've come to a point where I think the Lord today, it's really, I know it doesn't make sense, might not help a whole lot, but I think it's a both and situation, you know. How can you be at peace with all men and yet still be a warrior in the culture? It's possible. Mm-hmm. God is bringing us, it's not an or, it's an and. He's going, you can be both of these things at the same time. And what he's looking at now is, you know, you're a Jew. It's, you know, I guess he might consider me a Jew. It's a matter of the heart more than a matter of lineage. In Israel themselves, they say in Jerusalem, they pray. And in Tel Aviv, they play. That's what the Jews say in Israel. You know, so you have your secular Jews and you have your Jews that, you know, truly fear the Lord. The same way in our country, you have your Christians that truly fear the Lord, and you have people that are just Christian by name. So, you know, we're coming into a both and, but Jesus, his blood lineage was not 100% Jewish by birth, but it was by faith.
Would you agree with me, Coach, that there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding about this topic?
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
So I'm not anti-Semitic because we simply talk about it. It makes me anti-Semitic.
No, I know your heart.
Great. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I'll try to get new folks in here that haven't been in. That's what when I look down the list here. Janine, come on in, Janine, then Larry.
Okay, there's several things that have been placed on the table here. First of all, Abraham wasn't a Jew. He, you know, from the very beginning.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear.
The seven churches are seven periods of from the time that, you know, for us to take a look at. Everybody wants to be physical about this, but he told us to worship him in spirit and truth. Yes. First, let's go and let's define who it, let's go to Romans. Spencer, can you put Romans 2:27 through 29 up first? And then we'll look at Deuteronomy 36 to have the Bible answer itself. We have all these opinions, but let's have the Bible answer itself. Okay.
27?
Yep, 27 through 29.
And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, who praise is not of men, but of God.
Okay, everyone says, well, that's the New Testament. Well, let's verify it in the Old Testament. Can you put up Deuteronomy 36, Spencer, please?
And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed. Wow. To love the Lord God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
He only circumcised the physical part because he had to show them. But it's always been from the beginning to the end, circumcision of the heart. You're not a Jew by physical parts. You are a Jew by your heart. And there were no such thing as Jews. Most of the Jews in Israel are Ashkenazi Jews anyway.
Yes, they are. So, yes.
Okay, so let's get off the physical and get on to the spiritual part when he told us to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Great clarity, Janine. Great clarity.
Home run.
Come on in, Larry.
Hey, I think that is great. I also understand where Sam was coming from partially, but I do appreciate one thing that Sam said. He talked about foolish talking about genealogies and stuff. Well, I don't consider this conversation foolish because, as Coach said, this is a question which trips a lot of people up. And if we can get clarity on it, like Janine just offered some clarity with a bright light, now, I'm not saying it's the only light that's there, but it's a bright light on the subject. But this is a meaningful conversation looking for balance and truth. And I think as long as we keep that in mind and don't begin trying to throw accusations around against our brothers and things, I think we're going to be better off.
So thank you, Larry. Again, let me ask this simple question because, I just can't even believe it. There's no animosity in my heart at all. And in my opinion, neither an unsaved Jew, nor an unsaved Muslim, nor an unsaved Buddhist, nor an unsaved Wiccan, ain't none of them going to heaven. Does anybody think I'm wrong? Are any of those people going to heaven apart from Jesus Christ? Anybody want to make that argument? No, none of them are.
It's all about the blood of Jesus, Coach.
It's all the blood of Jesus. The adoption, we are the children of God. Those who bear his name are the children of God. Not those of us who were born into Methodism or born into Baptistism or born into Pentecostalism or born into Judaism. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the circumcision of the heart. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you are not one of God's children. I think there's a great misunderstanding about it, and I resent the fact that I would be called anti-Semitic because I even bring it up. Well, actually, Reggie brought it up. Okay, go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I think we're missing a very big picture here, Dave. And we've had these outbursts from Sam before.
It's all right. He's allowed to do that. He's allowed to do that.
Well, no, it is your program, Dave, okay? This idea that the 140 of listening are, you decide what the conversation's going to be. You're a big boy. You put your pants on like everybody else. this is a huddle that you are the MC. So I don't want him to slide out easy. Of course he can give his opinion. But we've had this before. Dave, it's your program. It's your huddle. You're the folks, MC. You're a big boy.
And because we don't
talk about the thing, I'm sure you'll move us on.
That's right. And because
to come in here and chastise the program is wrong. If he doesn't want to talk about it, it's called don't join us.
The point is, folks, this is a point of contention in the Christian church. Why can't we talk about it? Why am I suddenly anti-Semitic just because I bring the daggone subject up? Nobody acts like that when we bring up Catholics. We criticize Catholics all the time here, bash them over the head. Right? Come on. We're big boys and girls here. Why can't I talk about the Jews? The Bible said the Jews, those who are Jews, say they're Jews and are not. The Bible said that, not me. And hey, this is good though, isn't it? A little bit of a family feud is good.
Dave, real quick, are there not two books that the Jews adhere to? I think it's the Torah, and what's the other one?
Kabbalah.
Talmud.
One of them is relatively kind about Jesus. Does anybody understand what the other one is towards Jesus?
Not very nice.
It's not very nice.
The Talmud.
Can I say it again? It's not very nice.
But here's the point. Thanks, Roger. Here's the point. Why can't we discuss it? Why can't we discuss it? I got so many want to get in here. I don't even know. I don't even know what. U.S. Country Girl. I'll pick on you, U.S. Country Girl. Save me here.
I just want to say this is why I'm here. Because you will not get this conversation in most other places. And these are important conversations to have to bring clarity, like everybody else said. So I'm thankful for it. And I don't think Reggie's point was to draw, you know, negative feelings toward Jews or anything like that. I mean, the question she brought up was, you know, she wanted to point out the fact that there are people who say they are Jews and they are not.
The Bible said that, not Reggie.
Right, but she wanted to bring that point up. She wanted to bring up that the Bible says that and get us thinking about, okay, yes, this was written at a certain time in history, but we know that these people have not gone away. They have their descendants, okay? And we know that the synagogue of Satan hasn't gone away. So where we are right now, it matters to know who these people are. Because they are very, very, very powerful. So it is extremely important. And, you know, over and over and over, you know, I just keep thinking, the Lord says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
We cannot bury our heads in the sand about these things.
So here's the question. Great clarity there, Country Girl. So here it is, as I sign off and hope nobody blows me up this weekend. Here's what it is. Is the blessing... Because she just made the point that Judaism is running so much of the world, right? It is. Or Jews who have the power and the control. Is that because the blessing of God is upon them? Or is it because it's the synagogue of Satan? Which one is it? That's the question I'm asked. I don't hate a Jew. Why did I hate a Jew? Dr. Zelensky's a Jew. I don't hate Jews. And the fact to bring it up, I can't even bring it up. Can't even bring it up? Come on, man. I love what I do. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.